I bring you love and greetings from my family, from our daughters, and from my wife Lindsay, back in Tulsa. And I don't know about how hot it's been this summer in Houston, but in Tulsa it has been hot. If hell's that hot, I'm not going. We've had a very, very hot, yes, I'll do that, Lord. Someone's being healed in your right eardrum right now. Even as I'm speaking, there is someone whose ear is being healed. It's been plugged up, and now suddenly your ear is just open, whoever you are. If you'll stand up, you'll find you're able to hear out of that ear right now, in Jesus' name. There's your first healing right now, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
I grew up in the healing ministry under the ministry of my father, Oral Roberts, who probably laid hands on more people in prayer than anyone who's ever lived. It's estimated he laid hands on more than 2.5 million people individually.
Wow.
I'm not talking about a mass prayer, I'm talking about individually. I grew up in that era. And he was my mentor. Also my mentor was Catherine Kuhlman. I traveled with Catherine Kuhlman for several years. I had some great mentors in my life. T.L. Osborne taught me how to do healing crusades in third world nations. And Brother Hagin and Kenneth Copeland is the one who prophesied over me when I was running from God. I was away at another university outside of Oklahoma. I told my dad, get the hell out of my life. And he said, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get the hell out of your life. It's funny now, it wasn't funny then. But Kenneth prophesied over me while I was away from home. He said to my father, Richard is not running from you, he's running from God. And within a year, I was back home and gave my heart to the Lord, was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And my father prophesied over me that night, the night I gave my heart to the Lord, and said, son, I see you standing before presidents and prime ministers and kings in nations all over the earth. He said, I see you in the healing ministry, but it'll be a different healing ministry than I have. He said, my healing ministry has come through my hands. The anointing comes down my arm, and when I lay hands on people, people get healed. He said, that's not the ministry God's giving you. He's giving you your own ministry, and it'll be a word of knowledge ministry. And you'll see the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. And he said, you're going to be on television more than I am. And you're going to be before large crowds overseas, much more than I have had, and you will not have the opportunity to lay hands on people. But when you speak, he said, the power will come through your chest. It will come up into your throat and out of your mouth. And when you speak, a power will come through. And people will get healed when you speak. And that's been happening now for a lot of years. And I thank God for that. It's a different anointing. Not any better, just different. And I thank God. And I've had the opportunity over my lifetime to have crusades in nations. I've preached in some 51 countries around the world. I've laid hands on 35 heads of state in nations around the earth. And with great crusades, I know you were just in Kenya. I was telling them last night, the greatest crusade I ever had was in Kenya. Police estimate was 200,000 people the last night. And thousands gave their hearts to the Lord. And I am involved with Jesus.
Amen.
He and I are on a first name basis. Okay. I know Jesus and he knows me. And I thank God for my heritage. You'll never know where you're going until you remember where you've been. And I understand my heritage and I'm grateful. I thank God for my parents who poured the word of God into me. And when I gave my heart to the Lord, all those scriptures that they had poured into me when I was a boy came flooding up. I didn't realize how much of the Bible that I knew. And I thank God for my heritage and praise God for that. And I'm honored to be here today to share my testimony and my life with you. Tonight is going to be very special. Don't miss tonight. All heaven is going to break loose tonight. I got news. It's going to break loose this morning, too. Open your Bibles to Exodus. Let's take a little Bible tour this morning before I do what I feel led of God to do. I've been going back and forth between several things of how, what the Lord wanted me to do and in which order he wanted me to do them. And I had my mind made up last night, then I changed my mind this morning in the hotel room while I was eating a piece of beef jerky. And and when I got to the service and Pastor Joni was leading worship, the Lord changed my mind again. So I'm kind of flexible. I think you need to be flexible with the Lord. You know, you don't. I didn't come to you with 3 points in a poem. Okay.
Amen. Come on, preach it. You know,
no 3 points in a poem and a handshake from me. No.
That's right.
You're going to get every. I'm not going to leave anything on the table this morning.
Glory. Glory.
So let's take a little Bible tour. Turn over to Exodus. Exodus 15, 26. Let's talk about healing this morning.
Praise God.
I was preaching on Tuesday night up in Colorado at, how many of you know who Andrew Womack is? I was a speaker one night in his Healing Is Here conference this week. And I was up in Woodland Park, Colorado, 8,500 feet above sea level. Wednesday morning, the temperature was 49. Wow, I could have stayed a while. but there were a lot of miracles that happened that night, and I was giving the people a little tour through the Bible, and I want to give you a little tour of healing through the Bible. In Exodus 15, 26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Say that with me. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Therefore, we understand where healing comes from. Healing comes from God. And God has a number of delivery systems, okay? He is not limited. He is able to heal in many different ways. But we give the glory of the healing to him. If it comes through your doctor, thank God. If it comes through the one who prays, thank God. If it comes through the diet or the climate or the exercise or whatever you do for health reasons, thank God. God is the source of healing. And we look to him. We thank the person who prays. We thank the doctor who treats and medicates, but we give the glory of the healing to God.
Amen.
He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Yeah. Now go over to 3 John 2, way over to your right, all the way near the end of the New Testament, 3 John 2. 3 John has only one chapter. 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That lets you know how God feels about you.
Right.
It's his desire for you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That means he wants you well in every area of your life.
Amen.
He wants you well in your spirit. He wants you well in your body. He wants you well in your mind. He wants you well in your family, in your relationships, in your finances. He wants you well in every area of your life. I wish, he said, above everything, that you prosper and be in health. That's healing.
Hallelujah.
Even as your soul prospers. Thank God for those of you who led someone to Christ this week. And for those of you who witnessed to Christ, I was witnessing in the elevator coming down. One of the housekeepers said, you're going to the house of the Lord this morning. I said, yes, I am. And I told her why and what I was going to do. I'm a witness for Christ wherever I am. I let people know I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
For it's the power of God unto salvation to him who believes, all those who believe. Now go over with me to Philippians. Pastor Joni, you quoted this scripture earlier. Go over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Jesus and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We understand that God has given Jesus a name which is above every name. You name any name, and the name of Jesus is higher.
Amen.
You name cancer, and the name is higher. You name heart problems, arterial sclerosis, and the name of Jesus is higher. You name diabetes or diverticulitis, and the name of Jesus is higher. You name arthritis or any itis that's out there, his name is higher. You name financial distress, emotional problems, his name is higher. Relation problems, his name is higher. No matter what you name, his name is higher. Now go over to Acts chapter 3. Let's take this a step further. Acts chapter 3, that's over to your left. Acts 3, Peter and John are going up, are going to church. They're going to the temple. And they see a man who's been carried there each day to beg alms because he was crippled, couldn't walk. And you'll find there in Acts 3 that Peter and John said to him, "Look upon us." Not, they were talking about not themselves personally, but they were talking about the person, Jesus, who was in them. Now, these are Holy Ghost men now. They've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. This is after the day of Pentecost. And they said, "Silver and gold have we none," or in other words, it's not money that you need. You need a healing. But what we do have, we give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the Bible says that the man leaped up on his feet and went praising God with them into the temple. So we understand that we have a name that's higher than any name named in heaven and earth.
Amen.
After Lindsay and I got married, we've been married for 42 years. And after we got married, the healing ministry exploded in my life. It had been prophesied, as I said earlier, but it took a period of time. Oftentimes when God gives you a word, it doesn't happen overnight.
Amen.
Sometimes it does, but most of the time it takes a period of time. And there was a time of training and a time of learning. And I was under the tutelage of my father during those years and under men like John Osteen and others like T.L. Osborne and Brother Hagin, who I was very close to. In fact, Brother Hagin prophesied that my wife and I would be married. That's how far we go back. In fact, I was telling them last night, I was in one of Brother Hagin's meetings. And he was preaching, and all of a sudden he said, "And now Richard Roberts will give the word of knowledge." About 12,000 people there. I swallowed hard. I said, "Lindsay, honey, Richard Roberts doesn't have any word of knowledge." But he walked off the platform, handed me the microphone. The moment it touched my hand, the word of knowledge began to flow and miracles began to happen. But that didn't happen immediately. It took years. Took a period of time. I was 31 by the time the healing ministry came into my life. And I was preaching one night, and at the close of the service, I heard myself say these words, "Lord, heal that man's big toe." And I thought, well, that's an unusual thing for me to say. It just came out of my mouth. I don't know where it came from, except from God. And I went home that night, or went back to our hotel. I was in another city. And I wondered what that was all about. A few days later, I got a letter from a man who said, "I was in your service that night, and when you said heal that man's big toe, you were talking about me." He said, "My toe was broken. I'd been to the doctor and had it x-rayed, showed a break. But when you said those words that night, my toe snapped. Suddenly I could put weight on it. I could jump up and down on it. And when I got back home, I went to my doctor and took another x-ray, and it showed a perfectly normal toe with no break." He said, in his letter, he said, "What did you do?" And I wrote back and said, "Sir, I didn't do anything. In fact, I felt kind of strange when that came out of my mouth." And I went to bed that night and I had a dream. I dreamed of a man's big toe. No foot, just a toe. 3 nights in a row, I had the same dream. Finally, after the third night, I said to my wife, "Lindsay, I've been having these dreams." And she said, "This is the beginning of your healing ministry." I said, "A toe?" She said, "Yes." And she said something that marked me. She said, "Never despise a small beginning."
Amen. That's right.
You know, I tell people I'm an overnight 73-year success. it sometimes things have got to percolate.
Come on.
They've got to take time, you know. You don't pour the coffee grounds in the cup and take the coffee grounds. You let it percolate a little bit with some water, okay, with some cream and sugar or whatever else you want in it. With me, it's not that, it's Dr. Pepper, but nevertheless.
Come on.
It's nectar of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
I'm always more anointed after a Dr. Pepper. I don't know why. So we said to the Lord, Lord, it's time for the healing ministry that has been prophesied. It was prophesied over me when I was 19, but it didn't happen until I was 31. Now, why? I don't know why, you know. Don't ask me why. I don't understand why. I've quit asking God why, because I've never gotten an answer. There's some things that God doesn't respond to. And so don't ask me why. I don't know. I don't know. There are a lot of things I don't know. I'm not nearly as smart as I was when I was 19. I don't know how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk and make yellow butter either. I don't know. Don't ask me those questions. I don't know the answer. So we got a hold of Mark 11, chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. My desire was a healing ministry. God had spoken to me that I would have one. It was time now for it to happen. And the scripture goes on to say, therefore, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. My desire was a healing ministry. We began to confess a healing ministry in our lives. We didn't tell anybody about it. I didn't announce it on television. We just prayed every day, confessing. Thank you, Father, for the healing ministry. We receive it by faith. We didn't have it in the natural, but we had it by faith. And every day we confessed it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the healing ministry that is now in our lives. Nobody was getting healed, but we had a healing ministry by faith. Now, this was in early 1980. And we went to Albuquerque, New Mexico for a one-night healing or one-night service. It turned out to be a healing service. And the first time the word of knowledge really began to flow in my life was that night, and people began to get healed. And I remember Lindsay was sitting out in the crowd, I can remember her nodding her head saying, this is it, this is it. We have now received physically what we have received by faith. And it's happened now every place I have gone since then. And it's gotten stronger and stronger and stronger.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you that because many of you don't know me. You don't know anything about me. You may have heard of my father, but you don't know anything about our ministry. And I thought I should share that with you this morning, kind of as a preliminary to let you know a little bit about the ministry and what's going on. I served in a number of different capacities over the years after I gave my heart to the Lord. I graduated from Oral Roberts University with a bachelor's degree, with a master's degree, and a doctorate in ministry. I served as my father's assistant, kind of like a personal assistant for years, and then I became a vice president of the ministry and a vice president of the university he founded, and then I became executive vice president of the university. Then in 1993, I was elected as the second president of ORU, and I served as president for 14 years, graduating some 8,000 students during those years, many from the Houston area. And then in 2007, I launched back out into the healing ministry full time. And that's what I'm doing. As the pastor said, about 6 years ago, I was awakened early one morning about 5 to have my prayer time. And I was sitting on the edge of the bed and kind of rubbing my eyes, clearing my head, so I'd go into the other room and pray. Lindsay was still asleep. And clear as a bell, the Lord spoke to me and said, your healing crusade days are over. Now, at that point, I'd had crusades in more than 40 countries around the world. And I was awake when the Lord said, your healing crusade days are over. And I said, well, Lord, if my healing crusade days are over, what do you want me to do? And he said, remember the prophetic word that your father gave over you before he died. Well, I had forgotten that word. My father had laid his hands on me just a few months before he passed. And he said, Richard, when you get into your late 60s, you will become a minister to ministers. And you will teach them on healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith. And I'd forgotten that prophetic word. And the Lord reminded me of that. And I said, yes, Lord, I remember that now. And he said, well, this is the time. You'll no longer travel in healing crusades, but you will go to nations around the world, especially underdeveloped nations, ministering to pastors. And that's what I am doing now. I'm still traveling some in the United States like today, and I'm still doing television weekly. Our programs are seen around the world. But that's what I'm up to, and you were making reference to that. I just did a Zoom conference with 15,000 Pakistan pastors. And it was the most amazing thing you've ever seen in your life. I didn't realize how much God can use Zoom. You know, we Christians have a way of rejecting technology. We need to embrace it for the gospel. So, 3 days with 15,000 pastors. And I've just come just a few weeks ago from Cameroon in West Africa, where I did a live 3 day conference with 2,000 African pastors from 14 different French speaking African nations. And so I'm hot off the trail today. And I thank God for that. But today, this is not about me. This is about you. This is about the needs that you face and what God wants to do in your life today in this service. Jesus always focused on the person he was dealing with. And I learned that from my father. I learned how to make a television camera a human being. Not a camera, but a person. And my father taught me, if you can reach that person, you can touch everybody. And so that's a little bit of the history of this ministry. And I thank God for it. My wife and I are very close in this ministry together. We do television every week together. And I'll be going back to Tulsa tomorrow. We're doing TV this week. But I thank God for that. And I thank God for this opportunity to be here today. I was preaching in Jos, Nigeria. And I had debated the Muslim clerics, the leaders of the Muslim faith, in the city the night before on local television. We'd had a debate on the Muslim faith versus Christianity. And I had said to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what to say to these Muslim clerics. I've never done this before. And the Lord said, well, don't answer their questions. Just tell them about me and tell them about the healing miracles that you've seen. And so I did that night, and I invited them and all the people that were watching on television in that area to come to the crusade. And the next night, there were about 15,000 to 20,000 people who came to those crusade grounds, everyone standing, no chairs. And I preached and prayed for the sick. And there was an operation of the gifts of healing that night. And I began praying for people who had been crippled. And during that evening, a young man, probably around 20, came through the crowd. Now, there were no aisles like this. He had to almost push his way through the crowd. And as he came forward, the crowd began to jump and cheer and rejoice. And I didn't know why. He looked perfectly normal. And he came up on the platform and began to run and jump on the platform. Then he would squat down and he would leap back up to his feet. And I said to the interpreter, I was being interpreted in the Hausa language, which is the local language in that area in northern Nigeria. And he said, you don't understand, this is Abdul. I said, well, who is Abdul? He said, Abdul is the beggar of Jos. And his parents carry him to the post office each day where he begs for money because he's never taken a step in his life.
Wow. Praise God.
Well, now.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, he's not the only one who's running and jumping on the platform. I'm running and jumping too. And the media was there, the newspaper reporters were there, and they came on the platform and took his story, his testimony. And the next morning, it was on the front page of the Jos newspaper, Beggar of Jos Healed. And that next night, 100,000 people came to that closing night service. and 25,000 Muslims gave their hearts to the Lord. Now that was an operation of the gifts of healing. When I prayed that night, there was a power. It came out of my chest and came up my throat and out of my voice.
Yes.
And that's what's going to happen today.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
It's not because of me.
Don't
misunderstand me. I've got nothing to do with it. I'm just a conduit through whom the power is going to flow.
Amen.
So don't get your eyes on me. You get your eyes on Him. We were on television one night, and for many years, Lindsay and I did our programs live. In fact, in my lifetime, I've done more than 10,000 television programs. And we were on live that night, and as we were preaching on the air, I heard the Lord say this to me, and I repeated it. There's a woman who has been diagnosed with cancer, and she is pregnant. And the doctor has told you, I'm saying this on the air now, the doctor has told you that he's going to have to abort the child to save your life. And I said, ma'am, come over to your television and put your hands up against my hands. And as I prayed, I said, the Lord is healing you from cancer. And you're going to deliver a normal, healthy child. I didn't know that there was a woman in New Jersey who had just come from the doctor. She was pregnant. She had just been told she had female cancer. And when she walked into her home, her mother was there watching me on television. And as she came to the door, she heard me say, there's a woman who has cancer. They're going to have to abort the child to save your life. Come over and put your hands on the television set. God's going to heal you. And she did. Her husband was a police officer. And he came in just a few moments later, and she told him what she had just done and what I had said. And the next day, she went back to the doctor. They did all the exams. They could not find a trace of cancer. Not a trace. And about 7 months later, she gave birth to a beautiful girl. It's an operation of the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is supernatural information. It comes into the mind of a believer. And it happens to all of us. Some Christians reject it. And they think, well, that's strange. That's weird. Well, I wonder where that came from. Well, in most cases, it came from the Lord. But we have a way of, you know, we don't want to look weird, you know. Well, you already are weird. And He called you peculiar, you know. He said you're a peculiar people. That's another way of saying you're weird. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're weird. I was preaching one night on television, and I heard the Lord say, there's a child that has webbed fingers on one hand. And I said, Lord, what do you mean webbed fingers on one hand? He said, his fingers are webbed together. They're frozen, like melded together. And we were live on TV, and I said, there's a child somewhere, your family's watching tonight, and your hand is melded together, your fingers, you can't open your hand, like the webbing of a foot of a duck. And I said, if you just move your hand, you're going to find you're able to open your hand. And I didn't know that there was a woman and her son in Los Banos, California, who were watching me that night. And her little boy had got his hand stuck on the stove when he was a baby, and it melded the fingers together. And he couldn't open his fingers. One hand was fine, but the other hand was just like this. He couldn't move them. And we had our Abundant Life prayer group live with us that night. So about 10 minutes later, while we were still on the air live, she called. And we put her voice on the program, and she was crying. She said, what had happened to her son when he was a baby, she said, when you said that word and gave that word of knowledge, all of a sudden his fingers just opened up.
Praise the Lord.
And they're perfectly normal.
Praise
now.
God.
That's an operation of the word of knowledge.
Praise God.
It's supernatural information that comes into the mind of a believer. It happens to me, and many times it happens to you, just maybe you don't know what to do with it. But when God does something like that to you, you can say, well, God, what is that, and what do you want me to do with it? You know, we were on TV one night, And the Lord said to me, there's a Vietnam veteran who's watching. And during the Vietnam War, he was involved in an accident in Vietnam, and it cut off three of his fingers. And the doctors, the MASH unit doctors, sewed them back on, but he's had no feeling in those fingers. They're just there. No feeling since the late 1960s. And so I said that on the air. And a few minutes later, I got a call from a man in Nashville who was watching. And he said, I was a part of the Seabees in the construction unit in Vietnam. And while I was there, there was an accident. It cut off my three fingers on this hand. And he said, the doctor sewed them back on, but I've had no feeling since the late 60s. And when you said that, suddenly feeling came back into my fingers. Now, that's an operation of the word of knowledge. Now, why am I saying this to you? Because when this begins to happen today, you can be able to say, Lord, I receive that. Oftentimes, a word of knowledge is not just for one person.
Right.
I was preaching one night for Creflo Dollar in Atlanta, and when I walked on the platform, the Lord said, I'm going to heal backs. And I said, Lord, I'm getting ready to preach. He said, well, that didn't matter to me at all. He said, I'm going to heal before you preach. And I don't know about you, but I've told God what to do. And I've told him how to do it. And I've told him when to do it and where to do it. And I told him who to do it to. And he has never done it my way once. I ask him to heal at the beginning, he'll wait till the end. I ask him to heal at the end, he'll heal at the beginning. I just quit telling God what to do. I got news. He's in charge and I'm not. So I gave one word of knowledge about backs, and 500 people came forward to give testimony of how their back was healed. Now, I don't try to tell him what to do. I just jump when he says jump.
Right.
So I was preaching one night in, or one afternoon actually, in Accra, Ghana. I had laid hands on somebody from Ghana. I had prayed for the president the day before. Rawlings was his name, and I'd done a press conference with him, and we were standing together, and I said, Mr. President, now the cameras are rolling, we're live on television, and I said, Mr. President, can I lay hands on you and pray? He said, sure. So I took his hand in mine and prayed for him and prayed for the nation. And when I finished the prayer and said amen, he wouldn't let my hand go. And Rawlings was a big man, much bigger than me. His hands were huge. And I couldn't get my hand out of his hand. And it's a little unusual, you know. I'm not used to holding hands with men. So, so he wouldn't let my hand go. And he looked over and he said, Dr. Roberts, I've held many hands in my life. Some hands hot and some hands cold. But your hand has the right temperature. This is on television live. And I said, well, Mr. President, I think I know what you're trying to say. What you're trying to say is you're feeling the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's flowing through me. He didn't know how to say it, but he knew what he felt. Well, the next day we were closing out the crusade, and we had about 40,000 people there on these grounds. Nobody's sitting, everybody's standing on this big field. And the pastors came to me and said, there's a woman here who was born with one breast, and we'd like you to pray for her. And so I did. And after I did, she came forward and said to the pastors, when Brother Roberts prayed, God created a second breast. Now, knowing me that I sometimes have a few skeptical moments, I said to the pastors, how does she know? I probably should not have said that, because she came up on the platform and took her dress and she lifted it for the entire crowd to see. I was in Africa. And that was an operation of the gifts of healing. And that's what's going to happen here again today. Now, why Why am I sharing like this? Why am I taking the time to share some of these experiences that I've had and some of the operations? It is so your faith can rise up. Now, we know that God is the healer, and we know that God is sovereign, and God can do anything sovereignly. But most of the time in my life, He operates through people who believe and who will use their faith and who will release their faith when someone like me prays. So I'm sharing these testimonies with you today to help build your faith, to let you know that you are a candidate for a miracle.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, how do you use your faith? How do you release your faith? How do you let your faith go? How do you get yourself into a position where you can take these scriptures that we've shared and that you hear from time to time? How do we take those and how do we put that into a position where we can receive healing? How can we become a channel to receive the touch of God?
Come on.
How do we get our faith out to God? Well, the best way I know is through an experience that I had when I was a boy. And I have shared this testimony all over the world because it may be the best explanation of how to get your faith out of you. A man said to me, "Richard, I have all the faith in the world." I said, "Well, that's your problem. You've still got it." Faith was not meant to lie dormant in your heart. Faith was intended to be released. You know, you can take your car key in your hand and you can say, "What a wonderful key this is. And I believe that I can start my car and I can drive, you know, over here across Houston." But until you put that key in the ignition and turn it, there isn't much that's going to happen. Something that you have to do. When I was a boy, I was about 10 years old. I had developed 22 warts on my left hand. And I am left-handed. I played ball. I played football, baseball, basketball, all the sports all through school. And the warts were spreading. And I would come home from practice, basketball, baseball, football practice, and my hand would be bleeding every night because when I threw the ball or caught the ball or whatever I was doing, I would rip those warts off and my hand would be bleeding. I'd come home bloody every night. And my mother said to me, "We're going to go to the doctor and we're going to burn this off." Now, this is in the late 1950s. They didn't have the sophisticated equipment then that they had now. In those days, they burned them off. And when she said, "We're going to go to the doctor and have it burned off," naturally, as a 10-year-old, it frightened me. My dad came home, and she told him what she was about to do, and he said, "Well, honey, that's fine, but also let's pray." And I said, "Yes, Daddy, please, let's pray." So he took me in their bedroom and sat me down on the bed and closed the door, and he said, "Richard, I'm going to pray for you, and when I do, I want you to release your faith." And I said, "Daddy, how do you release your faith?" He said, "Son, you release your faith through a point of contact." I said, "What's a point of contact?" He said, "A point of contact is something you do. And at that moment, you release your faith." And he saw that I didn't understand. And he pointed to the wall and said, "Do you see the light switch?" I said, "Yes." He said, "The light switch has no power, but it's a point of contact. And when you flip the switch, you touch the power company and the lights come on." And he said, "Richard, the faith in your heart is just like that switch. It's hooked up to God's power company. And when you release your faith, you touch God's power. And that's when the miracles begin to happen." He said, "Now, when I pray and when you hear me say in Jesus' name, you take your faith just like that switch and you let it go to God." I said, "Okay." And he began to pray. And he came to the point in his prayer when he said, "In Jesus' name." And being 10 years old and not knowing what else to do and never having done it before, I just said, "Faith, get up there to God." And the older I get, the better it sounds. Faith in the name of Jesus. I release you. I expect a miracle. I looked at my hand. Every wart was still there. And he looked at me and he said, now, son, we prayed and we believed. Now let's expect a miracle. Well, I woke up the next morning. They were still there. Second, third, fourth morning, still there. Fifth morning, sixth morning, seventh morning, still there. Eighth morning, ninth morning, they were still there. But on the 10th morning, I woke up, I looked, and every wart had disappeared. I'm left-handed. Wow. I've never had another one. You can see, never had another one on my hand. But more than that, I learned how to release my faith. I learned how to let my faith go. And when I pray for you today, I want you to take the faith that you have. Don't say to me, Richard, I don't have faith, because you do. The Bible says God hath given to every person the measure of faith. You don't have a little dab. It's not like Brill Cream. A little dab will do you. No, you have a full load. You have the same amount I have. He has given to every person, every man, every woman, every child, the measure, not a measure, but the measure of faith. You have all the faith that you need. That faith isn't going to do you much good just lying dormant in your heart. It's got to be released. So when I began to pray, you take your faith just like I did and let it go to God in Jesus' name. Will you do that?
Yes.
Begin to pray in the Spirit. Shela mononokoso yatsanda kashta. Kestandiadana kasabra. Someone who has pain in the back of your left, no, it's your right leg. The back of your right leg, you're being healed right now. Whoever you are, if you'll stand, you're going to find the pain is leaving your leg now. Wherever you are, just stand up. You're going to find the pain is leaving the back of your leg right now in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Yes, I see you. Yes, I see you. Yes, I see you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone who has a need of healing in your back, stand up, please. Anyone who has a need of healing in your back. Remember, power of God is in you. His power is in you because you have the Holy Spirit. And God's power is in you. What you need is a blasting cap. You need someone to help you release that power. And I'm the person today to do that. If you have any pain in your back or your feet or your legs or your shoulders, just stand up for prayer. Or your neck, if it's a disc or a vertebra or anything like that. Anyone who has need of healing in that area. In the authority of the name, here comes healing. In the authority of the name of Jesus, I send that word to you right now. Healing, and comes into backs. Now, every disc, every vertebra, every pain from your shoulders down to your tailbone, be healed. Pain, come out. And enter again. There it goes. There it goes. No more forever. In Jesus' name. Many of you right now can begin moving your back. You're feeling a warmth coming up and down your back right now. You're going to find healing is coming into your back. Every shoulder from bursitis, collarbone, any problem with your clavicle, anything like that, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Every pain in the shoulder that comes down the arm, all that pain, come out. I take authority of that over that in Jesus' name, and I reach in and take hold of it by faith and pull it out of you. In Jesus' name. And I want you to look what I'm doing. I'm handing it to this angel who's standing behind me. Whenever I pray for the sick, my angel stands behind me. And he said to me one day, hand me the sickness and disease, because I know what to do with it.
Hallelujah!
Glory!
So if you see me doing this, you know what I'm doing. I'm taking hold of pain by faith, and I'm pulling it out of you, and I'm handing it to him. Hallelujah. He's about 9 feet tall. You can't see him. I can't see him, but he speaks to me. Sheila manana kasia. Knees. Knees that are swollen. Knees that are bone on bone. Knees that give you great difficulty in climbing steps and even getting up out of your chair. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Every pain, come out.
Come out.
and come out. And yeah, there it goes. Now just start taking your knees and doing this. You're going to find pain leaving. All the fluid, all the excess. Oh, yeah, I'll do that, Lord. All the excess fluid come out. And the fluid that you don't have, just go in. In the name, some of your knees have a drought of fluid. Your knee has a drought. And some of you have a flood. And you need, some of you need fluid to come out. Some of you need fluid to go in. In the name of Jesus, I take that which is too much and pull it out. And I take that which you need and pour it in to your knees now. Just start lifting your knees. You're going to find healing, 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 healing. Your feet and your legs and your hands and the carpal tunnel syndrome, in the name of Jesus, come out. I take hold of it by faith and pull it out of you in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Shoulders are being healed right now. Backs are being healed right now. Feet, legs are being healed right now. Hands are being healed right now. Elbows, muscles, bones being healed. There's like a creaking, a movement of bones, a shifting of bones right now in Jesus' name. Yes, I'll do that, Lord. I see it. I see it. I see it. Anyone with a loss of hearing, stand up. Anyone with a loss of hearing, stand up. Anyone with a problem with your eyes, your vision, a cataract, a glaucoma, anything like that nature. Problem with your pupils, with your iris, with your retina, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Sometimes that happens when I get near people. It's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. Eyes. And yes, I'll do that, Lord. And any problem in your stomach, any problem in your digestive system, and you need prayer, stand up. Or anyone with a problem with your heart or your blood pressure, or your blood sugar and you need prayer, stand up. Anyone diagnosed with any type of cancer or melanoma or myeloma, if that's you, stand up. Or someone in your family with cancer, stand up. Cancer, you foul, tormenting thing, I rebuke you. Every tumor, glory to God, every mass, every growth, come out. I take authority over it. Pastor, I prayed for a woman 2 weeks ago. She had a large breast tumor. And I felt something move when I prayed for her. And she went back to the doctor the next day and they did a biopsy. They put the needle in, and when they pulled the syringe out, the entire tumor, 100%, came out in the syringe. The doctor said, I've never seen anything like it in my life. He said, there's no tumor to biopsy.
Glory to God.
Completely gone.
Hallelujah.
A cancerous tumor, completely gone.
Glory to God.
And what God did, He's still doing.
Hallelujah.
Every cancer, every tumor, every mass, every growth, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Blood pressure, that which is too high, come down. That which is too low, come up. Blood pressure, be healed and regulate. And the blood sugar, the hypoglycemia, the diabetes, be regulated in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Blood sugar, regulate and be normal. And pancreas, produce the proper amount of insulin.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. I speak to the organs in your body to function. Yes, I'll do that, Lord. And pain in the hips is leaving now.
Yes.
Pain in the hips leaves now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every blood pressure, every blood sugar, be normal. And heart, I speak to the enlarged heart and to the blocked arteries in the name of Jesus. Open up that the blood may flow unrestricted. Arterial sclerosis, I call you by name. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. In Jesus' mighty name. Heart beat normally. No more arrhythmia. No more skipping of beats. Heart beat normally. Enlarged heart come down to the proper size. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Liver, liver, intestines, gallbladder, colon, be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Loss of hearing. Eustachian tube, eardrum, open up. Open up that you may hear. Just Tuesday night, several people handed me their hearing aids. Don't need them anymore. In Colorado, don't have any, no more needs your hearing aids. In the name of Jesus, be healed in your hearing. And you with cataracts, I saw a woman just Tuesday night, cataract just fell off her eye. In the name of Jesus, I speak to every cataract. I didn't say Cadillac, I said cataract. Woman said, please pray for the cataracts in my eyes. I said, no, ma'am, I pray for the cataracts, not the cataracts. Every cataract, come out. Every blurred vision, every problem with your iris, with the pupil, with the nerve, the optic nerve, any problem with any type of pressure, glaucoma, come out. I take authority over that in the name of Jesus and pull that out of you, that you may see, and you may see clearly, and that you may hear. And you may hear clearly.
Yes.
Eustachian tube, eardrum, open up. Breathing, anyone with a breathing problem. COPD, asthma, emphysema. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over your lungs. Lungs, breathe. Breathe all the way in and breathe all the way out normally. I rebuke COPD or anything like that. Come out in the name of Jesus. Now lift your hands and begin to thank Him, begin to praise Him. Begin to give Him honor and give Him glory. Thank Him for the healing that is in process. It may come all at once, it may come over time. I'm not in charge of that.
Thank you, Lord.
My job's to pray.
Yes.
Lift your voice. Any effects from TIA or any trembling in your body, I bind that in the name of Jesus. Parkinson's, come out! And enter again no more forever in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Someone has had a partial paralysis here in your cheekbones, and you've lost some feeling. And if you just touch yourself now, you're going to find the feeling is coming back in your cheeks right now. In the name of, you've had a partial paralysis. It kind of goes down by your mouth, and God's healing you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Give you praise and give you honor.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, if you had problems with your back, see what you can do now. Begin to bend and move. If you had a problem with your feet and your knees, lift your knees and your feet. If you had a problem with your hip, move your hips around.
Come on, move it.
Check your eyes.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Come on, let's twist again like we did last summer. Come on.
Move it. Yep.
Woo! Now, how many of you can tell just in the last 5 or 10 minutes you've received a healing?
Yes.
Put your hand up. I mean, you know it. I'm not talking about you're hoping. I'm talking about you. You can tell a miracle has happened. Put your hand up. You sure? Come down here. Come down here. Come on, make a line right here. Face the people. Make a line right here. I mean, if you can really tell a miracle has just happened. Come on. 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 I mean, if you know it. Let's see if this thing's real.
Glory to God.
Let's see if the healing power of God's real. Nothing takes the place of a testimony. I mean, if you can really tell there's a healing. I'm not talking about wishing and hoping. I mean, a real miracle. Jeff, I need Pastor, can I have a hand mic? Jeff, take that mic right there. Start right here in the middle. What happened to you just now?
I stepped on a crab yesterday, and my foot has been swelling up, and I couldn't walk on it.
You couldn't what?
Walk on it. I couldn't step on it. I couldn't do it.
Excuse me. You couldn't do what?
This. I could not do this.
You couldn't do that?
Without a lot of pain, I could not do that.
Pain's gone?
Gone.
What happened to you?
I have a slipped disc and compressed disc in my back.
A slipped, compressed disc in your back.
Come on, man.
How do you? What happened just now when we prayed?
It feels a lot better. I can walk easier now. There's less pressure.
Praise God.
No pressure now?
Not right now. I feel no pressure.
Praise God. Praise God. What happened to you?
Well, it's spider veins, and they were growing in the back of my leg and causing pain. I had pain before, you know, when I was in here. I wanted to put my feet up on the back of the chair, but you said right leg, but this was my left leg. But then later you said leg.
Well, I only missed it by one leg.
I'm going for the leg. I said, I'm going for the leg. You know, this is the left leg.
I was close.
And so I stood up, and now my leg doesn't hurt anymore.
Hallelujah. So, what happened to you?
I had lack of fluid in my knees, and I noticed it when I was up back in Ohio for the last 3 weeks. That pain, the fluid came back in my knees, and no more pain in my knees at all.
Pain's gone?
Yes,
pain's gone.
Absolutely.
Any pain?
No more pain. No more pain. Ever.
What happened to you?
I had lower pain in my hip from bending, and floaters in my eyes, and now it's clear.
Pain's gone, and the floaters are gone?
Yes.
No floating?
No floaters in my eyes.
What happened to you, sir?
Yeah, I have my pain on my left back of my leg, and even I was unable to sit with constant pain. And when you say leg pain, my wife told me, just stand up. I just stand up, and my pain is gone forever. Thank you.
Where were you born?
Back pain.
No, him.
I born in Ethiopia.
Ethiopia. I've been in your nation. What happened to you?
Back pain and chest pain because of bronchitis, and I couldn't take a deep breath, and now I can.
You breathe all the way in now?
Yes.
Show me. Bronchitis is gone.
Yes.
What happened to you, sir?
I feel so antsy and pressure, and I feel more calm now.
What happened to you?
Just a lot of pain. I've had carpal tunnel for years since I had baby.
Did you hear me say carpal tunnel?
I didn't.
I said it.
And then you told me, you know, you said about like just releasing, and I just said exactly the words you said as a 10-year-old, and I've been doing this, and it was so bad I couldn't do it. Like, dude. I was telling my husband I can't focus on what he's saying because I'm in pain, and it would be all here, but it's gone.
What happened to you?
I've had hearing problems forever. I got my confirmation. Another brother prayed for me earlier, and I closed this ear because it's my good ear. And praise God, I can hear. I could hear. I would test myself. I would close this ear and to see if I couldn't hear. I could hear out of this ear. And I got healed of my carpal tunnel.
Carpal tunnel?
Yes, it's been swelling. And I feel so much better. Praise God. And I pray for my cousin that has a bad foot problem. I know she is healed. Anna, if you could hear me, you're healed.
What happened to you?
A disc in my back. And when you said release your faith like that, when I did like that, it was just, it's gone. Praise God.
What happened to you?
I came in today and I had pain and tightness in my upper back. And when you were still reading the scriptures, I said, turned to my husband, I said, I was healed. I've been healed. It was before you even started ministry.
See, that's what the Lord said to me. The Lord said to me, he would heal people while I talked.
Yes.
And there's an example of it. Praise what happened God. To you?
Lower back pain for a long time. I felt heat and now I feel so much better. But also blurry vision, I don't have that any longer.
Praise God. What happened?
I was in a car accident many years ago, and then when I was standing before you gave the word, it was hurting. It hurts a lot back here, and then you said the word, and I was like, oh, it doesn't hurt anymore.
So that was a word of knowledge that God was giving me about backs being healed. Notice how many people's backs are being healed. That's an operation of the word of knowledge. What happened to you?
I stood up when you said that people needed healing for their lower back, so I stood up. And then you called out legs and feet, and I've had neuropathy on my legs and feet for a long time, and I received my healing. And then you called out eyes, and the black floater that was in my right eye is gone.
How's your back and your legs? How's your back and your legs?
It's coming.
No, did you hear that? It's coming.
I'm completely
healed. Hold right there, Jeff. Right after we got married, My wife asked my father to come pray for her because she had had migraines since she was a little girl, the kind where you have to close the curtains and pull the covers over your head. And she had already had a couple of them since we've been married. We'd only been married about a year or so at the time, a couple of years anyway. And he came down to the house and he prayed for her and he said, "Lindsay, you'll have these headaches for 3 more days." And she said, "Why?" And all he said to her was, "Lindsay, you're winting." And he left. And she wanted to know what he meant. And so she called him and he said, "Well, the Bible says they were healed as they went." And he said, "You're winting." And she had those headaches for 3 more days, and then they stopped, and she's never had another one since.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
You're winting.
Praise the Lord. Yes, yes.
You're winting. You're going to be healed as you go. What happened?
Yeah, for the past 3 days, I've slept on one side of my on the bed. I had a neck pain that has been bothering for the past 3 days. But when you give the word of knowledge, the pain is gone completely.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Are you from Nigeria?
Glory, yes. Glory.
You from Nigeria?
Nigeria.
Yeah, I recognize the Nigerian
I'm
accent.
I'm from Lagos, Nigeria.
Lagos, I've preached there many times. Preached in Lagos many times. I preached in Lagos, praise I preached in Jos, I preached in Benin City, mm-hmm. I preached in Port Harcourt, mm-hmm. I preached in Abakaliki. I preached all over their nation. I stayed in the home of the president.
Wow. That's a favor right
there. I had lunch with the president and his entire cabinet.
Wow. Praise
while
God.
I was in Nigeria. What happened to you?
I hurt myself, my hip, at a water park a few weeks ago, and I didn't even stand up. I was sitting down. As soon as you said hip, like, the pain just left completely.
Praise the Lord.
What happened to you?
I've had pain in my hip for a while now, and every time I do this or walk, it pops. I have no popping, no pain.
What happened to you?
I've had extreme pain in my back. I've been in a car accident, and I've had neck surgeries, and it just gets strobe up and hurting. And I was standing back there as you were praying. I was doing this, what you done as a child, just giving my faith to God. God, take it away. God, take it away. And my back started popping, and I bent over.
I felt like I heard bones moving.
And yeah, and it feels so much better.
Praise
God. It really does. I'm winching maybe, but still.
What happened to you?
So much better.
Well, I didn't even think about the eyes, but I don't even see the floaters, and I can see all the way back clearly. And my leg, it was, when I do like this, it was real stiff. But
come on, girl.
What happened to you?
My knees have been giving me problems for a while now, and then just something happened, and it was like they're all normal. I feel normal. They're not feeling weird. I was having issues going up the stairs, like, you know, and I just always just bypass it and say, no, I'm just going. But now it was just standing there. It was just some kind of, just felt good. It was just, it just feel normal.
Weren't you standing there playing the keyboard this morning?
Yes, sir.
I thought so. I looked up you as you said, I looked up there and I heard the Lord say, he's got knee pain.
Wow.
You're just standing up there playing.
Wow.
You're standing for a long time. And yeah. I knew you're going to be healed. Praise God.
Woo!
Hey! Well, let's rejoice. Stand up and rejoice. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Healing all the people.
Now, who over here was healed in your back? Wave your hand at me. Who was healed in your shoulders? Wave your hand at me. Who was healed in your feet or your legs or your knees? Wave your hand at me. Who was healed in your hearing or your eyes or in some other area? And you know, wave your hand at me. Who down here, you're healed in what area? Was your back? Wave your hand at me. Or your feet or your legs or some other area? Wave your hand at me if you know. Jesus is a healer.
Amen.
And what he did, he's still doing.
Yes, yes.
Praise God. I am so glad I came to HFC. I can't wait for 6 o'clock tonight. Wow. Only heaven knows what's going to happen tonight. Everybody stand up for a minute. Father, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Holy Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. It's by the Holy Spirit that I pray this prayer. Lord, don't miss a one. Anyone else who needs healing, just release your faith right now in the name of Jesus. Let your faith go to God. Let your faith go to God in Jesus' name. Let your faith go. Let your faith go, like the woman said a moment ago. And the gentleman said, I just let my faith go, like you said. Let it go right now. Yes. You receive healing right where you are.
Yes, Lord.
You heard these testimonies. Because what God did for them, he can do for you. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise you, mighty Savior. Praise you, praise you. Kila mananaka, lift your voice.
Hallelujah.
Kendi atanaka sambrakasa. Kesobri atanaka sita kashti andaka sayasa. Kishta brakasi andaka sa. On the day that you were born, be seated for just a moment. On the day that you were born again, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit came in and took up residence.
Amen.
In your life.
Yes.
You have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You don't have to get him, you got him.
Amen.
You may or may not have released him. You may or may not have yet prayed in the Spirit and prayed with your understanding, like the Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 14. But you have the Holy Spirit. Isn't it wonderful to know you don't have to go get someone you've already got?
Right.
He is in you.
Amen.
What's he doing? Well, Romans chapter 8 tells us that. He's interceding. What's intercession? Prayer. The Holy Spirit is praying inside of you 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He knows the mind and will of the Father. He also knows what's deep inside of you. And he's taking that intercession out of your innermost being up to God. And when you pray in tongues and tap into his prayer, and then when you stop and pray in your own language, you begin to get ideas, concepts, new inventive ways of doing things like never before. That's the value of praying in tongues. It is a Christian's secret weapon. The world can't do it. They can't pray in tongues. But you and I can pray in tongues anytime, night or day. And then we can stop and we can pray in English. And when we pray in English, it's like God waters our minds, like we water our yards. Our minds are watered. And our minds just blossom with ideas and thoughts and ways of doing things like never before. Creative genius comes in when we pray in tongues and stop and pray in our own language. Something that I learned when I was just 19, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I began saying a few words in tongues, and the more I did it, the more language came, until I could do it at will, anytime, night or day. I don't do it because I'm trying to make a spectacle of myself. You know, I don't do it because I'm better than anybody else. I do it because I need help.
That's right.
Because the Bible says I don't know what to pray for as I ought. But when I pray in tongues and I stop and I pray in English, I get understanding. And getting understanding in this world today is critical. Without praying in tongues and praying with the interpretation, I don't think I would know what to do in life. It's my secret weapon.
Amen.
Let's just begin praying in the Spirit right now. If you've never prayed in tongues, just open your mouth right now and allow that language to come up flooding up in you. That's it. Just stir up the Holy Spirit. He's in you. You don't have to get him. You've got him. Thank you, Father. Now, just begin to pray in English. The very first thing that comes in your mind, in English, right out loud. The very first thing you get from God, begin to say it out loud. That's how you pray in tongues, and that's how you interpret. Because the Apostle Paul said, let him or her that prays in the Spirit pray that they may interpret. If all you do is just pray in tongues, you're going to feel better, but you're not going to get information. And praying in tongues is not just about feeling better. It's about getting answers. It's about getting new ideas and concepts and new ways of doing things. Creativity. So when you pray in tongues, always stop and pray in your own language after. And let God reveal to you what He wants to reveal to you. I'll tell you what, it'll change your life. It's transformed my life. Because most of the time in my life, I don't know what to do because I'm just not that smart. I need help. I need the Holy Spirit. And the good news is I've got Him. And the good news is so do you. Now every head bowed for just a moment. Father, don't let a man or a woman or a young person who heard me this morning, heard about faith, and saw the healing power of God in action in many people's lives today, and heard people around them praying in tongues and interpreting back. Don't let a man or a woman who's come here today lose their soul and go to hell. It's not God's will that any perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Hell was not made for people. Hell was made for the devil and all who are with him. But today, this is your day. For today is the day of salvation. If you've never repented and asked God to forgive you, if you've never received Christ as your Savior and you'd like to today, or if you've been running from God and you want to recommit your life to Christ, and you'd like me to pray a salvation rededication prayer with you, if you would, if that's you, if I'm describing you, you want to make Christ your Savior or you want to come back to Him because you've been running and you'd like me to pray with you, if you do, put your hand up right now and hold it up. I want to pray for you. Hold it up high. Don't be ashamed. Jesus said, if you confess me in front of men, I will confess you in front of my Father. Hold up high. Now you with your hands raised, stand up and come down to this altar right now. Stand up. If you raised your hand, stand up. Young man, stand up. Ma'am, stand up. Come forward. Come right here and stand in front of me. Come on, right here. Is someone else, Richard? Say, Richard, I need this prayer. I need this prayer. Wait for me. If that's you, come on. Come on, don't miss out. If you know this is for you. Someone else? You say, well, Richard, I think I'm saved. Well, that's sort of like me saying, I think I'm married. If you don't know, you want to know for sure, get up and come down here right now.
Hallelujah!
Come on. Don't wait another minute. You may never have this opportunity again. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am, I'll wait for you. You are worth waiting on. Yes, and you both too. Yes, son, I see you. I tell you, it's life changing. I gave my heart to the Lord as my Father led me in a prayer. A prayer like I'm going to lead these. Now, those of you standing here in the front, I want you to lift your hands like I'm doing. Lift your hands up and pray this prayer out loud after me. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, a backslider. I've missed the mark with my life, and I repent. I change my mind. I turn my back on the past. I renounce the devil and all of his works. And with my mouth, I confess that Jesus is Lord. And I receive him as my Lord and as my Savior. Come into my heart. Save me. Heal me. Deliver me. And set me free. From this moment, I will serve God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my strength. In Jesus' name. Somebody give praise to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.